Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 141, the box office report for the week ending December 6th, 2015.
And a very special episode for us because we're broadcasting right off 141.
That's true.
That's a good point.
We are. The only time we'll do that.
It makes sense to almost no one that listens.
Right.
Yeah, we broadcast at the Think Tank.
Yeah.
Is located real close to a road referred to as
Road.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're reading a Tolkien novel.
Why can't it's from Tommy Boy. Black Sheep.
It doesn't matter.
Same,
but,
same movie.
But yeah, it's called Highway 141. So anyway, it's the box office report this week. We'll jump right in and people can go around and introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless show plugs and notes and stuff. It's been a long weekend for me, people. It's been a long weekend.
Lay off me.
Been a long.
So, happy holidays.
Yeah. Sure.
We've only got 3 more weeks.
I know. It's like you're so excited when Christmas starts and then you're like, when will it be over?
Yeah.
I am so
sleepy. You mean when
sleepy.
It starts the like 5 days before Christmas?
Yeah.
Or before Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm so sleepy. Just make it stop. So don't forget, we are available on iTunes. You can go there and rate and review us and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us a lot. We've actually had listeners tell us that the reason they chose our podcast was because they saw all the great reviews. So
yeah.
That helps us tremendously. And speaking of great reviews, we have a new one.
We do.
Would anyone like to hear it?
Sure.
I mean, if you don't want to, I won't.
Wait, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Is it a good one?
It is a good one.
Oh, then,
so
yeah.
It'll stroke your ego,
yeah,
so that's good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of great reviews, here's a terrible review.
Yeah.
Is that bad? You let into it with that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, and actually, fittingly enough, the title of this is Great Movie Review Podcast.
Wow, it literally was.
Yeah.
The check is in the mail.
Yeah. From Agent Frostbite of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm sorry, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than, no offense, Pink Whale Moo. Or there was another one that
why?
We had.
Why? Are you,
I wouldn't say
why,
it's necessarily
wow.
better.
How mean, about it's not as, like, what?
Why are you crapping on people who gave us
yeah,
good
yeah,
reviews?
Yeah.
Hold on, though.
What's
because,
on
you know
here?
What?
When, what?
Like, you're getting your ass handed to you in games like Battlefront.
I know, right.
And then
who
you're
just,
laying there, and then Pink
dart?
Whale Moo runs by you. You don't say anything. You're
no,
just
you're
like, yeah, carry on.
Getting teabagged by Pink Whale.
Yeah, I know.
Dang it.
So, Agent Frostbite of S.H.I.E.L.D., who I think is best friends with Pink Whale Moo.
He's gonna change and it. An agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He,
so they have
he
access,
or she
so.
Is going to change
yeah.
their review.
So he or she says, a great movie review podcast with a double dose during the week. We get twice of the conversational off-roading that we did before. I enjoy the different views and the different references each host bring to the table. In other words, they like the old people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. They are unapologetic about their views about the movie or whatever topic they are currently talking about. I would recommend this podcast to everyone looking for a movie review podcast. So thank you, Agent Frostbite of S.H.I.E.L.D., no affiliation to Pink Whale Moo. And if you do like the show and you're already listening, and if you're listening to this, then it's safe to assume that you're already listening.
Especially now.
Yeah, I think that's the second law of thermodynamics, I believe.
It is.
So You could share it with your friends. You could go up to them in person and say, listen to this podcast, and then just jam earbuds into their ears. Or you could do it the safer way.
Oh, all right.
Which is less likely to lead to a restraining order.
Or a felony.
Or a felony. I was thinking, since they were friends, maybe that they'd like just go restraining order on the first time.
Misdemeanor. Well,
probably a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Probably would be.
Yeah.
Now I think about it.
Yep. Yeah, it's because the podcast is so good. Like, if you were to jam the earbuds into their ears and make them listen to a crappy podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. So a double assault.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it would be
felony.
A felony. Right.
Yeah.
So, but if you make them listen to our podcast, it's just a misdemeanor.
Okay. Okay.
So if you're contemplating this, and please remember, each and every one of us in this room is an attorney, and this is our legal expertise. Speaking.
We are all esquires.
We are all esquires.
So if you're going to shove earphones in your friend's ears, make sure it's real spoilers.
Make sure it's real spoilers.
Correct.
Because even if we're wrong, just the publicity on this alone should be on. It's like Doug Stanhope used to say, like, if you're going to kill yourself, could you blame it on me in the note?
He's like, because that'd be great.
I'm not saying you should kill yourself, but if you do, like, I'd get
it'd
a lot
fantastic.
I'd get a lot of attention.
You could do that.
So you could share it the safer way, mm-hmm, on Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a safe way.
That is a safe way.
That won't get you. Might get you unfriended, but you're not going to get arrested.
Yeah. Well, you also won't catch anything, so that's good.
That is also
that's
true.
Also true.
So yeah.
'Tis the season.
So you could join our League of Show Sharers. Like?
Yes.
God. And now I feel bad. Now I know what
Pink Whale Moo.
No, because it's real names, because it's Facebook. So I know what teachers used to feel like subs when they had to read the roll call.
I would cut them off.
Like
they would be like, Joe's like, here. Yep. Yeah. Don't.
What if there was more than one Joe?
There wasn't.
It's a pretty common name.
I knew my class. Like, I was the only one there.
Joe Buh.
Yeah, I was like, nope.
Stop it.
I'm right here. Don't. Just stop.
Yeah.
So if I slaughter your name, I apologize. Kevin Krysek?
I think that's about right.
How would you know?
I saw it. I looked at him.
But you would have no way of knowing if that's right.
Well,
I know, but what if it's like a...
I was thinking Krysek, but, you know.
Well, there's not an H or an N in there.
I just like
that's actually, it's pronounced Smith.
Oh, okay.
Or Krysek.
Yeah, it's pronounced Smith. The Krysek is silent.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Lane LeVanway. He's a sheriff now.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, he's an old-timey Western sheriff.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Just hanging out.
A lawyer,
like,
sheriff.
Yeah, he's got one of those big handlebar mustaches.
Did you see that mustache on Kurt Russell in The Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. That's a mustache.
I had to skip that screening. I was very upset.
They screen it already?
For reviewing press. Sorry.
Oh,
I'm not trying to.
Wow. No, yeah. No. I'm shocked that they put it out as early as
Here's
they
some
did.
Salt.
It was it was basically just for people that could vote in the awards.
Was it full 70mm 3 hour?
It was 3 hours and 11 minutes is what it said the
intermission.
Runtime was. Yeah, but
I don't think it was an intermission.
If you see the 70mm version, I don't think we were seeing 70mm though. But they gave us like less than 48 hours notice, and
that
it fell
sucks.
On the day that my son had a performance at school, and I'm like. Sorry, Quentin.
Bah.
Yeah. So anyway, Tom Kaminsky. Hope I'm saying that right.
I think that's a new one, right?
No, that's the
I think
one.
He's come up before.
Yeah, remember Kaminsky and Bud Ice, the cereal?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's right.
The miniseries?
Okay. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Disneyland Matt, who makes all the Dole Whips.
All of them.
All of them. Every one of them by hand.
At each park.
At each park.
That's, ooh.
Yeah.
Do they just fly them back and forth?
They do. They do.
Wow.
Yeah, he's that good.
Every day. Does he put some on ice or is it like daily?
They fly him back and forth to make them each day. Like, he's like Phil Collins at Live Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Phil Collins played both.
Do you have the old-timey reference thing ready
here
to go?
Here we go. Yeah. Ready? Phil Collins played Live Aid, and he played both in London.
Yes.
Hyde Park, I think.
I don't know.
And then he played stateside. He flew
the
Concorde and played stateside.
Oh, wow.
He's the only artist to play both Live Aids, to play like, and you know,
simultaneous.
He like played early in the day in London and then flew to work.
That's cool.
And then he play with Led Zeppelin and was so bad that they don't.
Like he was so off with it because he had just
flown? Yeah, like Jimmy Page.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know the story.
He played drum. I think it was Zeppelin, and he played drums.
Yeah,
and
I thought they had Bonham's son playing drums.
Not for Live, because he would have been a baby.
Bonham. That's a newer.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a newer.
I guess
he would have been like
a
teenage, like a youngin. But he did play. I think it was for Live Aid, but he played drums for Zeppelin, and apparently he was some. par.
Oh,
Jimmy Page. I mean, if you're gonna, not it, one to let that.
It's
out.
Like if you're gonna play for probably one of the greatest rock bands of all time, you better be
practice?
On your game. Like you can't screw that up.
You should practice.
Yeah, maybe.
But he was probably severely jet lagged.
He could have
been.
That's possible. Then you don't play with Zeppelin.
Or right.
You
just it like, was freaking Phil Collins.
Yeah,
you know.
I think we're giving Phil Collins a little bit too much credit.
I was gonna say. Yeah. I mean, In the Air Tonight is fine, but I mean, it's. Yeah.
It's got like five things.
Well, according to, and that is technically a solo song.
Oh, okay.
It is. It's right. Yeah. A song. But he according to the Googles, it says the Genesis drummer took the stage at Philadelphia's JFK Stadium for Led Zeppelin's first live performance since the death of John Bonham 5 years earlier. It's weird because I was probably like 15 when Live Aid happened. And it's weird to think that it had only been 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'd only been dead for 5 years?
It seemed like Led Zeppelin was like such a huge band.
Yeah.
Like so just like epic and monolithic that it's weird to think that like it had been 5 years. Like that's not that long.
That's not that long.
But they just felt like they were from a different generation.
5 years is like how long it's between like records.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it says the concert wasn't billed as an official Led Zeppelin appearance, which saw Collins was filling in along with Tony Thompson of
Power Station?
Chic.
And Power Station.
Is he in Power Station too?
And Chic.
And Chic. Well, and that would make sense because Power Station, I know, did their debut with Michael DeBar on lead vocals.
Yeah, which like, was like, that's not, that song sounds weird.
But there's a really good documentary about Michael DeBar.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's available publicly yet, but it's actually produced by Josh Weinstein. Who was the original voice of Tom Servo on Mr. Science Theater 3000.
Huh.
And, But it's really good, and Michael DeBar has a very fascinating story. He's this guy who was always almost a big deal, and
he's like right there on the cusp.
Yeah, and I think it's called "Who Do You Want Me to Be?" That's what it was called.
Yeah.
And because he wrote that song, Animotion ended up making a big
obsession.
Hit. Obsession, yeah,
yeah.
And
I'm gonna steal Animotion. That's good.
That's good.
I like that.
And so, it's a really fascinating documentary. But part of the story is Robert Palmer leaves Power Station and they hire Michael DeBar and his very first live performance with Power Station was at Live Aid. No pressure.
Oh, yeah, good luck.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Sorry, you said like when you said he's the only guy to play with two bands, my brain immediately went to Ravishing Rick Rude. The wrestler, because he's the only wrestler to ever show up on WCW TV and WWF TV at the exact same time because WWF was taped and WCW was live and he had jumped ship it had happened. So like
and they didn't edit him out.
Nope. He walks out on Raw. And if you flip over to Nitro, he's walking out on Nitro at the exact same time.
It was like,
I remember watching me like, what? Wait, what's going on?
So he's the Phil Collins of wrestling.
He's the Phil Collins of wrestling.
Yeah. I'm sure he's very proud of that.
I'm sure
he likes to think of Phil Collins as the Rick Rude of adult contemporary rock.
He's dead, but you know, whatever.
Well, he doesn't think of anything. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Back to our League of Show Sharers. Chris Sansochi, I guess I'm saying that right. If not, then you can say something. Ryan Breidenbecker. I know I'm saying that right because you got it wrong for like 4 weeks and we finally figured it out. Timmy Two Zunes, Librarian Cynthia, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. And not official League of Show Sharers, but League of Show Likers.
Yeah.
And I think some of these people that like it, maybe they share it and their privacy settings are wonky.
Oh, they could.
And so, not wonky, but they just have their stuff locked down, so we can't see this, you know, as easily. Or maybe they've just blocked me. Michael Booth, Sarah Clark from the Zilch Podcast, Ashley Dotson, Pranav Anand, or I think I should say it, Anand. Pranav Anand, because he's our James Bond guy. Hopefully I'm saying that properly. He's never emailed to correct us, so I guess I've got it right. Monica Rickman and Jim Ryan. So
excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
We really appreciate it, and that definitely helps. And speaking of the Zilch podcast, I will point out that we did an episode of Zilch. The whole thing. It's like this bonus episode of Real Spoilers. If you can't get enough Real Spoilers, and how could you?
I've never heard anyone say they've had enough.
And so... We did a whole bonus episode that's sitting over there on the Zilch podcast, and Zilch is a podcast that's just exclusively about the Monkees. And even if you're not a huge Monkees fan, it's still us talking about the Monkees.
Right.
You love us.
Yeah.
We love us.
Yeah.
And
transitive
so,
property.
Yeah, exactly. But we talked about the Monkees had a movie called Head, which is a very weird, odd
It's a heady movie.
Yes. Yeah. That's what the kids used. That's why they called it that, right? And so we spend like an hour plus talking about that movie, just breaking it down. So, and it's pretty weird. So I thought it was a pretty interesting conversation because it's such an odd movie.
It is. I went back and I listened to it because I'd never listened to their podcast. And I was like, you know, if you're going to put us on, I guess I could show you the courtesy.
I've never listened to your podcast, so I'll listen to the one that you didn't
I downloaded,
did.
I downloaded the one. I did the one before it.
Okay.
And I did ours.
Well, you're a good man.
Yeah. You know, you should give us a little love. I'll subscribe to your podcast. It's cool.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
I did too.
But it was, okay, so I work overnights,
right?
And that
you put
was
yourself to sleep.
I was on the, that was our third show of that day.
Yeah,
and you can tell how worn out I was.
Yeah.
On that show.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of podcasting that day.
But yeah, I that was very cool of them to do that.
It
was super super awesome.
We greatly appreciate it. So if you've come in from listening to Zilch podcast and you thought I will check them out on something else,
I'm awake today.
Thank you. Yeah. And Joe's awake today. Yeah. So this will probably be the last time you listen.
It was
because Joe will talk more and he'll be like, whoa, that was bait and switch.
I think that you need to now for all of our Zilch listeners, you need to make some monkey references every show just to kind of keep them interested.
Well, I do fairly frequently.
You do, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like Dr. Zaius and
just remember to
what we're talking about.
Pepper them in Chip there Chip. Every once in a while, you know.
Yeah. No Jim Jim.
Those are
Caesar.
Apes, come on.
Yeah, Caesar.
Yeah. But I do.
Jimbo the Super Monkey.
I can't help it.
Chim.
So. And one last show plug. Also, I did an episode of a podcast called The Lapse. Sometimes you might hear us reference in passing my Insane Clown Posse story, which is
legendary.
It is legendary.
It's, of my stories, it's my Freebird. And just an incident that involved me and Juggalos and Insane Clown Posse and lots of Faygo. Which is a type of soda, not a hate crime that I said that, just to be
so,
clear.
Because they were spraying Faygo all over people's faces.
Right.
I mean, so you got to clarify that.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a video of, like, you know, those stupid fights that break out in, like, a gas station or whatever.
Right.
Somebody throws a giant thing of Faygo.
Right.
Like, I've never heard of it until you brought it up, and then here it is in this, like...
It's just discount soda.
It is.
It's like in St. Louis, we have Vest.
Right.
I think every town has, like, every major city has their, like, cheap
soda.
Yeah. Cheap soda.
Schnucks Super Soda.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see it, and I see the guy pick it up, and I was like, oh, look, Faygo. Oh,
Faygo.
There it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because for a long time, stores didn't have store brands, and so, like, Faygo or locally Vest, that was the generic.
Vest Orange is kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if somebody threw a giant thing of Tab, it would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Hey, because, wait.
You know, it's light and flavorless. And
it
the person
hurt.
Who got hit would be like,
whatever. It's RC Cola.
Shasta.
Oh, God.
I still remember one of my favorite online Onion headlines ever was RC Cola celebrates 15th purchase.
That's awesome.
Ugh. So, but anyway, so I tell that story in great detail, and it's a real quick one. It's about a 15-minute episode.
It was a good one, though.
They gussied it up nicely.
And they do. It's called True Stories Gussied Up.
Yeah.
And they did a great job.
Like,
it sounds like I'm on an episode of This American Life or something.
It did, yeah.
Like, it's really neat. The sound effects, the music, the way they do, like, dialogue that's not yours, and he talks.
Right.
Like, it's so cool.
The way he kind of plays the other character.
Yeah,
His name's Kyle, and he does a great job. Like, that guy, if NPR or This American Life doesn't hire that guy, they are fools. Like, he does great work.
Yeah. And if you want to check it out, I believe he is trying to just raise $600. He's doing this full-time independently. You can go to his, what is that website called where you can support different?
Patreon?
I was Kickstarter.
No, Patreon.
It is Patreon, yeah.
Patreon, okay. Yeah. We have a Patreon, too, just in case anyone, you know.
Yeah, if you want to throw some money, we'll tell
but,
you.
But look for the Lapse.
I've said that before.
Look for the Lapse. Well, just out there. But look for the Lapse on Patreon, and he's just trying to raise $600, and I think that guy deserves it.
Look,
so.
If you can get the Death and the Superman Lives documentary funded, you can kick this guy like $2.
He's doing good work.
Because when he said, I'm just trying to raise, I'm like, what's this number going to be? He's like $600. I'm like, oh, I mean, that's a very attainable, you know, he's not trying to raise $20,000.
Kevin was almost like, here's $600.
Yeah.
Cool,
now,
man.
Now I feel like a dick for not.
Yeah.
Here you go. So, but anyway, so that, you know, if you want to hear just a different, what my day job or one of my day jobs used to
look
like.
That was a good episode.
So,
I've read the story, but hearing
The story was fictionalized.
Hearing
like
you tell the story.
There's some things
was...
that happen in that don't happen in real life.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's good stuff.
Anyway, so that's a whole lot of shameless plugging that we've been doing.
Yeah.
So we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin will wake up his abacus because it's fallen asleep.
It's passed out.
Yeah.
It had a long night.
And he has it at the ready. Kevin?
Let me just press the power button here.
Reboot.
It was fully charged when we started the episode. I don't know what happened.
Control, Alt, Delete.
Just turn it on and off again.
So this weekend at the box office, America's Sweetheart, Jennifer Lawrence, number one. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 brought in another $18.6 million.
Is that 3 weeks in a row?
That's
yes.
3 weeks in a row, number one. 64% drop from last week. It's at $227 million domestic, throwing another almost $300 million foreign, so it's well over half a billion.
That's
in 3 weeks.
America's love affair with archery continues unabated.
And you know, I was under the impression that these movies made over
you
a
do impressions.
Yeah.
Can I just shout one out? You can do it.
Well, I was under the impression.
Oh,
I wasn't on top of it.
He's the understudy for
what
it.
Have you done? What if you did?
I did it.
The Stallone impression, and then he'd be under it.
The way you gotta do with the Hunger Games.
Sylvester Stallone, is he here?
How does he keep showing up? Do we have him piped in through Skype?
I was like Cobra was in the room with us.
Are you lazy?
I'd like to think of him as over the top. That's
I
would
know
what's
great is I was my grandmother was about to shoot. And then he showed up.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. She's dead.
Jesus.
Jesus. I don't even know what's happening.
I was trying to figure out how to work in other like Stallone
Demolition
movies.
Man. I was trying to make a Demolition Man.
Copland. Cliffhanger.
Rhinestone.
Rhinestone. Did anyone catch the outro song of episode 140?
Yes, I did.
No, I didn't. What was it?
Drinking style.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, it's so bad. I had to listen to it again.
How about this? The Lords of Flatbush.
There you go.
Look that one up. You know that one, right?
I know that one.
That was made for TV, wasn't it?
Or wait.
I don't believe so. No, really? I think it was theatrical.
Okay.
Well, at least it didn't work in.
I think they ABC
the
Nightly Movie or Monday
they
Movie.
Aired it.
They aired it a lot
because
Happy Days got so big.
Was
Henry Winkler's in it.
Was it a straight porn or was it gay porn?
I don't know, whatever he was, the
Italian?
Yeah.
Well, I think they called it that after. I don't know that it ever got released. Yeah. And then when Rocky got big, that came out, and so they called
it. They're like,
Yeah. He was also in...
I didn't do it.
He was also in Woody Allen's Bananas.
As what?
Was he?
Yeah.
Is it just like a side character?
Woody Allen gets beat up on the subway, and Sylvester Stallone is the actor who beats him up.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Here's a bonus... Oh man, what do we call it? Video rewind thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I don't know. Like,
What's that thing I do?
That thing we've done for 140 episodes?
Yes. When Tom remembers, in his defense. If I can forget to ask him to do it, he can forget the name of it.
I can forget the name of it. I forget it. So, Nighthawks. Check that
movie. Oh, yeah.
That movie.
Yeah. With Billy Dee Williams.
Yes. Yeah, that movie was so good.
I forgot about that one.
Rutger Hauer's the bad guy. And
of course he is.
And TV's Lindsay Wagner.
Oh.
The Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. And it's one of those ones that... When
it's
it came out, because he had a lot of the facial hair and it was longer, and people were like, it kind of tanked because it was like, it didn't look like Rocky.
I kind of love Cobra's Cut, my favorite.
And it's not one of his other porns, but Fist.
Yes. Fist. That is not a porn.
I like Italian Stallion and Fist double feature.
Yeah. Oh, it's double, all right. It's double. So,
anyway, what I was saying about 20 minutes ago, I was under the impression that these movies made $1 billion, and they make close, but I didn't realize that Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 didn't quite cross the $1 billion mark.
Because it wasn't that good.
Failures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's total failures.
Complete and utter failure. I'm surprised they didn't just shelf the last one.
Well, when they edit them together and do their limited re-release.
Yeah, right,
bonus
right.
Footage.
It really is. Like, I remember when they first started doing director's cuts of films, and I was like, ooh, extra footage. And now it's come full circle where I hope for director's cuts with less
shorten them
footage.
Down, yeah.
Like, trim it up. Let's go. Don't need it.
Yeah.
But the part one made $750 million worldwide, and this made over half a billion in 3 weeks. So, I mean, collectively, if it really was one movie they filmed at the same time, they're over $1.25 billion.
Yeah.
So they're doing, I mean, this is why they keep splitting them up.
Who owns this?
It's Lionsgate.
Okay. Which is why they're making, I mean, all studios are doing it, but that's especially why they had to split it up. They don't have another movie like
right,
this.
Right, right.
And that's why when that director made that comment about they should go back 75 years and show how it started, you see this box office?
They might.
Yeah, might they, nothing. They
I was going to say, yeah. when I saw...
They're doing that right now.
Yeah, they've already kicked the idea around.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, so I guess Lionsgate doesn't have a bunch, but it's kind of... Lionsgate is kind of like New Line or Dimension. Like, New Line didn't have anything either until they started doing Nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, that's right.
And then that brought in all kinds of money. And then that actually led into Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
Like, New Line's, I think, last independently done... Because so who bought... Somebody bought them.
Warner's?
Is it?
Yeah, it might have been Warner.
So, like, they... Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
because Warner's did
Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was a
joint
legal quack.
Yeah,
that whole Lord of the Rings thing was weird too because of the different people that owned it. Because
someone
had the rights, someone
that's
made
why
it.
It just, like,
and different people owned different parts of
it.
It was
right.
like they had licensed out the Hobbit to somebody else.
Oh, really?
And like years ago.
That's why the first 20 minutes of the movie is everybody's just logo. Like, like, oh, hey, there's the Warner Brothers logo.
I will say that is the advantage of
and
with Marvel and DC is like you get a Disney logo and you get a Warner Brothers logo. And
the really sad thing is that's not even the most boring part of the film.
No, that's actually
that's more exciting than that.
Let me know when to show the logos.
Yeah, when the elves start singing and you're like,
I gotta pee.
Remember when the logos were going on?
Oh man, those
God,
were so,
that kicked ass.
Yeah, that WB logo was
that
so good.
That font on Wingnut Productions is looking really good.
I just find it interesting that like I don't think there are many independent studios anymore.
Well, like
everybody's owned by somebody.
What I think of is like Summit. They have Twilight, and that's their money maker.
Oh,
you know,
right.
So Summit was like, who's Summit? And they got Twilight, and they've made billions now, so now they can venture out.
I think of like Millennium.
Millennium.
They always only did like bad action movies.
Yeah.
So, but they most recently they did the Expendables.
Oh, okay.
They have the Expendables.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well,
and again,
Lucasfilm was an independent studio.
It was, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
it
was, but it's not really any. I mean,
I guess it is
for
that much money. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is.
They were. Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess if you trace almost any of them back far enough.
They were.
I mean, Disney was just a guy in a suitcase getting off the train with a mouse and a dream.
That would be a really, like, that'd be a really cool story. Like, just to see, like, the birth of Disney and then.
There's a really good biography written about him by Neil Gabler. And,
you said Neil Gaiman. I was like, done.
Yeah,
let's read
like,
that book. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just all of a sudden picture Walt Disney wearing black eyeshadow and
super emo Walt.
Yeah.
There was a PBS documentary. It was like a.
Yeah, The American Experience came out like 2 months ago. Maybe.
Yeah, and
Netflix.
That was
they interviewed Neil Gabler in it.
Yeah, it was pretty insightful. I was impressed that they didn't like just
completely sugarcoat it. They talked about his union problem.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, because I wasn't aware at the level of vitriol between he and I hate to say Goofy, but he and the guy who was
Goofy,
like who did Goofy.
Yeah.
Oh, they had
the artist.
Oh,
They like came to blows.
Oh wow!
Outside a picket one time.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it was. It's good.
Yeah, I think that is on Netflix. I think
it's good.
Yeah, there's. It was also a guy at the beginning named Ub Iwerks who really kind of got screwed.
Whoa. Yeah,
Ub Iwerks. A lot of people think he invented Mickey Mouse. That he's the real creator. And the story I've heard is that Ub Iwerks, like literally that famous Walt Disney signature,
is him.
He invented that, and Walt had to learn. To do that because
it
was like the logo and it became so iconic. When he would autograph stuff, people were like, do it right. And so like he would have to sit there and teach himself
how to write like to
and
luckily
he could draw
like
he did have talent I mean I don't mean to be and Ub Iwerks big claim
this isn't like Bill Finger and Bob Kane
where
like, Bob Kane can't do and then Bill Finger's like man I'll cover it don't worry about it
you're
not gonna give me any credit for it
but Ub Iwerks what he really did to make Disney the company take off is he invented the machine and came up with the concept of we'll keep the backdrops the same
multiplane animation
change the character on top of it.
He invented
that. It's weird to think there was a time it didn't exist, right?
Like,
it seems so obvious
because
they were redrawing everything
which is why
you didn't see
cow.
That much of it. And he invented a machine that you would basically that could shoot that and they would draw on the cell.
right?
Every cartoon doesn't have
every
still.
Cartoon
I mean,
it. I don't think anybody does it anymore.
And you then Hanna-Barbera came along and only did, like, just would move their legs and nothing else.
Right.
Oh,
right.
When they ran.
Yeah, yeah, like Flintstones.
Do you think they don't do cells anymore, do they? There's no way.
I think on traditional feature animation they're doing.
I think that was part of the whole deal with...
Yeah. There's a lot of computer
assist. The Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a combination of both, but there was a lot of hand-drawn in that. Yeah. And that, what's interesting about that is that when Disney got rid of their hand-drawn animation, because they used to have, it was part of the Hollywood Studios out in Florida. They had a hand-drawn animation.
You could
department.
Go and watch them do it.
You could watch them do it. It was so incredible. Cool. And you could see all the paint and everything. And they sold off all that gear, and it was John Lasseter who like bought all the tables and everything.
What was it? Paper Man was like the... That little short was hand-drawn.
Well, because Lasseter was like, especially with what was going on, he was like, he wanted to do some traditional 2D stuff. So he like bought all the old stuff. And
that's
then
cool.
Ended up coming back in house, which is kind of cool.
So, Hunger Games making plenty of money. Number two at the
number
box.
Number two.
Half an hour.
This is like an old school real sports.
Yeah.
The Good Dinosaur, Disney Pixar's latest film, brought in $15.5 million, a 60% drop from opening weekend. That's $75 million domestic.
I think this is going to be their weakest box office.
This is going to be
maybe ever.
This is going to be their home video.
Yeah,
they'll make it.
That's surprising too, because it looked like it was going to be really good, and I don't know. I'm just baffled by it not making more money.
I think people went because it's a good thing they got a sequel lined up in a queue, because if they had another original coming out, I think they would
people
suffer.
Would start.
Mm. Yeah, mm.
It has made $55 million foreign, so it's up to $131 million. I don't have a budget, so I'm not sure what a Disney Pixar film usually comes out.
Well,
for
and they
something
started like this one over, so that didn't help.
Oh, what happened? I mean, real quick, why did they start over?
They didn't like how
previous
it was
director.
Yeah, they didn't like the story.
Oh.
I think
historically they've done. I mean, if you
they've
look at Pixar's history, they do that a lot.
Yeah,
if it's not perfect because that Pixar
they've
quality
replaced
control
directors. They just,
and it was interesting. They
recorded all the audio.
They've replaced directors, but then the directors still work there.
Yeah.
Like it's not like
they don't
you suck,
like,
get out. They're
like you didn't work for this.
This isn't working for you. So we're going to put you over on something else.
Yeah.
We still like you. You'll direct something later. Like, it's not like, it's like, I think they kind of have this culture of like, it's okay to fail. Like, we're not going to crucify you, because if you don't swing for the fences, you're not
right.
You're never going to do anything
working,
great. And so, but this isn't working. So you go over there, like Ratatouille was, I forget who was doing it. And then it wasn't working, and they completely rebooted it and brought in Brad Bird like that, you know? So
it's happened a lot.
It has a whole lot
more than I think people would realize. But it's because there isn't a lot of animosity, after the fact, because they do stick around. It's you're not kicked out. You just
this
do
didn't work
else.
For you. Yeah. It's like watching that Farley audio for Shrek.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it just sounds brutal.
Now. It does,
and it might have been great. Like you might not I even thought anything of it, but.
But then Mike Myers comes in and does his thing, because I don't know, like, but I watched it and it was like, man,
and they
was...
had to redo that like a third time because
the Mike Myers one.
Okay, so they started doing it with Farley,
right?
And then he died,
right?
And so they brought in Mike Myers. Mike Myers had completely recorded that film, and then he was like, what if I did it with an accent?
Yeah.
And they went back and they did it with the accent, and they were like, yeah,
that's really
and
good.
He had to re-record all this stuff. I think it cost him like $2 million, and he went through and re-recorded all his audio in what you now know is the Shrek voice.
So he was just doing his regular Mike Myers voice,
pretty much.
Which interesting,
you know?
Yeah,
I mean, he was on SNL last night.
Oh, was he?
Like,
yeah. I was like, yeah, he was on SNL. That's not
last night.
That's not a weird piece of trivia.
Dana Carvey. There
I didn't see it. No, all I saw he came. Ryan Gosling was the host, and he came out and
he was just there.
He did something with Gosling. Yeah,
gotcha.
So
Good Dinosaur purportedly has a $200 million budget. So,
it's gonna be fine.
Disney's fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they're not gonna close down the studio. But,
no, but I mean, I think it'll probably make its money. What's it at total?
It's at $131 million worldwide.
It's no Mom Needs Mars Needs Mom.
Oh jeez,
Home or whatever.
That's okay. Yeah. They've got Finding Dory and
The Incredibles 2.
And Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. That's a good question. So I guess Pixar. Well, I guess Pixar won't see the profits from Zootopia, right? Like,
it's all one company.
That's what I'm thinking.
Matter.
Like, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, it doesn't go on their like internal.
Like when you look at their,
you get a gold star kind of
right,
a thing.
Right, right, right.
And but Zootopia's trailer is great, but it could still
it could
be an
suck.
Awful
that
movie.
That could be a great scene.
I can give you a whole list of movies that are awful but have good scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know?
So, coming in at number three, Creed with $15.2 million, so only a 49% drop on that one in its second week. That's at $64 million domestic. And that one did open to a little bit of foreign money, $2.2 million, so obviously not a huge rollout so far, but we'll see what that does in the coming weeks.
You would think that would do well just because there's, I mean,
Stallone,
Rocky's an international star. He's playing Rocky. You would think that would have a stronger foreign box office than you would typically think for a movie.
I bet it will come out strong. It's only in four countries right now, at least that's all I have the numbers. So once they release it, maybe they've got, maybe they're waiting on Star Wars to pass or something. And
do you see Ryan, is it Coogan? Ryan Coogan?
Coogler
is in talk. Like Marvel's like, hey,
yes.
That would be a great move.
Why don't you come Panther? Do the Black Panther?
Yeah.
Oh. And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's it's pretty much a done deal.
That's how
they definitely after
the Marvel way.
That's
man.
The Marvel, yeah. The smart, yeah, the Marvel.
They've tried to get directors for this movie.
They
for
had
a while.
Ava DuVernay,
and it just
and
didn't work.
She was like, no, but she was smart. She was like, she knew going in. She's like, yeah, I don't want to play with somebody else's toys.
Right. Yeah.
And if they give them back,
and then there was somebody else at one point that was in talks.
It's also a rule in the porn industry.
Yes. Well, yeah.
So yeah, you want to see him open the package, right, just for your own safety,
just to be safe.
Yeah.
And now this guy.
I like that you say that with such expertise. Yes, you're right, Tom.
Yeah,
it's your personal rule. Yeah.
Creepy Joe.
I didn't say it. You said it.
You agree.
Tommy doesn't shoot until you open that package.
I was agreeing that you made a good point.
You're
I was
Creepy Joe. I'm Teflon Tom. Like I say all this crazy stuff, and
I was like, yeah, man, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah,
no worries.
That's true.
But yeah, I think he's already proven himself twice.
Yeah.
Like his two movies that he's done.
Does that mean Michael
fantastic.
B. Jordan's going to be the Black Panther?
No, they
they're going to recast
the whole thing.
The whole thing.
I only work with Michael B. Jordan.
No, we've already cast him and he's done. He's already been in one movie already. Yeah. We're not going to Terrence Howard this thing.
That's
unless
exciting.
They have him play his dad.
Or Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. Black Panther's dad.
He could.
Figures
that's
into
true.
The story.
Yeah.
Oh,
because Black Panther's kind of like the Phantom.
Yes.
Where he
the father passes it down to the son. Yeah.
Hmm, interesting.
So yeah, we'll see Michael B. Jordan.
Well, that's exciting. I think that's a good move by Marvel.
Yeah.
And
He can't because he's doing Fantastic Four 2.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
I don't think that's allowed. It's
because that's
Evans?
Gonna come out.
Yeah,
that's gonna come out. Number four, Krampus made $15 million. So that's, let's see, is there a budget on Krampus? $15 million. So hey, what do you know?
There we go.
Right on the money. It made $3 million foreign, so it's opening to around $20 million worldwide on the 15 budget. So I
wonder what they spent that on.
Well, I mean, Adam Scott's demanding.
I hope he got 14 and a half of
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
You know, his Parks and Rec was a pretty successful show, so, I don't know what, I mean, it's a Christmas movie, but it's horror. I just don't know what they're going for there.
Yeah.
That's got to be
save
a hard
it.
Sell.
Save
we'll
it.
Save that for yeah. our next episode.
Table yeah. that.
We'll
table that for
tackle
now.
Krampus.
Yeah. And number five, Spectre in week five, still hanging around strong in the fifth spot. $5.5 million, a 57% drop. That's at $184 million now domestic. $607 million foreign, so it's up to $800 million worldwide.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder what kind of deal Daniel Craig has. I mean, I don't know if they established that before the first movie, probably.
I think they do.
Or if he gets more and more each movie. But, geez, they make so much money. I wonder how much he actually sees.
I mean, I do think you get a raise each movie, but I don't think that he gets a back end or anything.
Unless he said that.
I think the only way I can't imagine they would cut that deal.
Yeah.
Not with a brand new movie and a brand new Bond.
Right. Like, I think the only way that, you could get that deal is if these movies were so popular strictly based on his personality and appeal,
right.
And they signed him for a second round, then maybe.
Right.
But
It's probably just a straight.
And at this point, I mean, it's the Law and Order of film franchises.
It really is.
You know, you're just like,
it's not. It's not a dig. Like,
well,
it's
just, we'll just recast you. Like, and people will get all excited about the new Bond. Like, it's like so many times when you're trying to recast a character, people are like, oh no, I don't want to see somebody else play Iron Man. They're all. But now, if even if they love the Bond, you're like, hey, we're gonna ditch this guy and get a new one. People are like, ooh, that could be fun.
All right, sweet.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they don't say it in that tone.
They've been doing it.
It's like they were recasting Moulin Rouge or something.
Oh boy.
So I think that one's gonna turn a profit probably. Number six, The Night Before. So still making some money here, and it's, you know, getting closer to Christmas. $5 million, a 40% drop from last weekend. It's at $32 million domestic. $25 million budget, so it's making a little bit more. No foreign money on that one. I just wonder with the Star Wars release, you know, in the next week or two.
I mean, it's gonna get lost in the shuffle.
For sure.
Sisters is they're trying some counter programming.
Right. Yes, they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on them. I mean, I. You know,
steer into the skid.
Yeah,
that's what the teacher driver said.
Yeah, I saw some of those spots and things that mentioned Star Wars with Sisters. That's interesting.
You'd think that like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler would have enough pull where they're just kind of like, no.
Yeah,
like don't do that. No, like either we put it out three weeks early.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I think in TV they do. I think in movies they don't.
Oh, I guess that could be true.
You know? Someone thinks, and who knows? We could be surprised.
Seriously, that Sisters movie could make a ton of money.
Well, and that's
because there's gonna be like for the first half hour of that movie, there's gonna be a bunch of people dressed like Darth Maul and Stormtrooper sitting there like,
I'll be right back. Yeah. But you know, I like normally I get what you're saying, but like there's no way because the Star Wars screens are going to be
stolen
out.
I know.
You're not going to be sneaking into that.
Well,
you know?
They're going to be like,
well, they'll be in the aisle or looking through the doorway.
I went to a screening one time. I forget what the movie was for, but it was on a Monday night. And I walked in and I sat down and the theater was just positively packed. Like even for a screening, and I got there like it happened for this one to get there like half an hour early.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sweet baby Snowpiece, this theater is crowded. And
did you use that term?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
And
was
it
the giver?
And so then somebody comes in and like they want to sit down in an empty seat and somebody's like, oh, you can't sit there. And they're like, my girlfriend is getting popcorn,
right?
Which is, I'm like, good for you. Make her get the popcorn.
Yeah.
You bought the ticket.
Exactly.
You know,
maybe
you
didn't.
You do
well, you didn't,
bad,
but you know? Buy the ticket. But,
so, but and so, and the guy's like, you can't save seats. And I'm like, well, I think you could save seats if they're buying concessions. Like,
right.
I think the theater allows that. He wasn't trying to, like, block a whole row.
Just one seat
literally
next
like
to
this.
Him.
Someone
and
has
like,
to go to the bathroom. It's the same thing. I mean, you can't just...
Yeah, and, like, they were,
lose,
like...
You lose.
Like they, I mean, it was escalating. Like, they were about to come to blows.
Oh.
And then I kind of got to thinking. I'm like, I look around, and I'm like, this screening shouldn't be this crowded yet, and I realized that I was in a showing of Dark Knight Rises, and it was the Monday or what?
Yeah.
I forget. I get them spun around in my head. Which is the Heath Ledger one,
the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
So it was like
in the wrong theater.
I was in the wrong theater, and there were no open seats,
right.
And partially because of me. Like it was that Monday after it came out. Remember what a juggernaut that movie was?
Yes,
and like
I do.
Even on a Monday like that, it was still doing like $30 million.
So did you say take mine?
And I was like, oh, I'm like, hey, and so I turned to the person. I'm like, what movie is this? And they're like, Dark Knight. And I'm like, oh, I'm in the wrong theater. So I popped up and like, and then the guy took those seats. But I was like, it made me think of that. That I'm like, there's no sneaking into a movie on
Star Wars. No.
Yeah.
No.
It's
good luck.
Not going to be a thing.
Not going to be a thing at all. Yeah. You're going to get there 3 hours early just to get a decent seat.
Yeah. You will.
That's why I opted for a theater, you know, that has
that's
the
a good
reserve
call.
Seat.
That's a good call.
Like, I don't want to fool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Number seven, the Peanuts movie, made $3.4 million, a 65% drop. That's in week five. It's made $121 million on its $99 million budget. Another 10 overseas, so we're looking at about 130 or so million.
So, that's not bad.
Yeah, still sticking around making some money, and I'm sure home video will do it well.
Oh, yeah.
Number eight, Spotlight, is still making some good money. We got a couple little of the limited release movies that are really doing well.
Yeah.
Spotlight made $2.9 million, a 34% drop in week five. That's up to $16 million total.
And that's, you're going to see that movie getting lots of awards.
Yep.
or at least awards attention.
It was it was so good.
Yeah, I've heard more. A couple other people since the last podcast told me they went and saw it and they loved it. I mean, it's just I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, it is. It is just old school movie making.
So in other words, people you trust.
Just making sure. They confirmed it for me. And I'm like, okay, good.
Oh, okay. Because we didn't like Kevin. Man of Steel.
Yeah. Sure.
I know
down.
You're.
Yeah.
Always comes back to that.
Number 9, Brooklyn, also still making some good money. It made $2.6 million in its fifth week in release. Only a 34% drop for that one as well.
Did somebody else tell you that's really good too?
Yeah. I know somebody that saw that yesterday and they really liked it. So
good.
That's up to 11.3 million.
In both of those movies, for real, are excellent. Yeah. Like, they're well worth seeing, seeking out. And you'll have to seek them out, most likely, because they're not going to get tons of screens.
Yeah, not here in town. I think Spotlight's only playing at, like, 2 theaters here in town.
Yeah, my guess is when they get awards attention, they'll roll out a little bit larger. But Brooklyn, I could see her getting some attention. She does a lot of... She's really good work. A lot of wordless.
It's
work.
Just her, right? Like she's kind of your.
There's other people, in
but
the
I mean,
movie.
Like she's your. Yeah. She like just your. She's your main focus.
It's not just monologue.
Just, just her protagonist.
Just her talking to people and not letting them answer her.
Yeah. She's like the Spalding Gray or something. Right. Just...
And rounding out the top 10, Secret in Their Eyes made $2 million, a 55% drop in week 3. That's up to $17.2 million, and I don't have a budget on that one still, so.
I watched it on video when it was supposed to be on video in the first place.
Oh, yeah?
No.
It just, it just looks like
I thought you were saying you did. No. Like they pulled it back. It's, I was
but
like,
it's,
what?
I mean, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this must be coming out on
the Hallmark
iTunes. I mean, it, you know, if it's like Prisoners or something like that, I'm intrigued because Prisoners was definitely a surprise.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those movies where it's like, for the star power in it, it just sort of like,
meh.
I don't want to spend the advertising money. That's me.
Yeah.
If I were the marketing company, that's what I would say.
If it were me.
Yeah.
And honorable mentions, Love the Coopers in 11th place already in week 4 with only $1.5 million. That's at $22 million domestic. And Victor Frankenstein in week 2, number 12, $690,000, a 72% drop from a terrible opening. It's made just barely $5 million in 2 weeks.
That's awesome. Actually, I think it's hitting a dollar bin right now.
Yeah.
So those mentions were honorable then?
Dishonorable mentions. I guess I'll
I don't think that's the way that works.
Cool.
The barrel.
Yeah. It looks like Victor Frankenstein made another $10 million overseas, so it's up to $15 million if that makes you feel better anyway.
It doesn't.
You
know?
Congratulations, Transylvania.
We were all prepared to do that as an episode. And we're like, you know, maybe not. So maybe not. On second thought.
Then again, maybe not.
Yeah. So
That's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. And coming up on our next episode, we have Krampus. So we will take some Lidl. I've been waiting to make that joke.
I bet you have.
The whole episode. Got it in.
Okay, then we're done.
Yeah. I might recycle the next one. Some people don't listen to both.
That's true.
And I wouldn't want to miss out on a gem like that. So if you do listen to both,
don't tell.
Don't put in the reviews that I recycle jokes. So,
or just forget about that joke when you listen to the next episode.
Yeah, right.
It'll feel fresh and different. Yeah. It's like, whoa, how NBC, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
New to you, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You're like David Lee Roth with the banter. It's like, that's the same damn thing you saw the Us
David
Festival.
David Lee Roth banter. I interviewed David Lee Roth when I was in radio. And they were like, they made a big deal. You got Dave for 5 minutes. Don't go over. You got Dave for 5 minutes. That's it. Five. I'm like, okay.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. We asked, it was me and another guy. We asked one question.
Oh, and he just went on.
And 15 minutes later,
no.
He's still talking.
And did he break out the sword?
I think because he was talking about how he was doing the interview from his dojo, the Mojo Dojo or whatever he was, you know, or was that the Powderpuff Girl?
Mojo Dojo. Mojo Jojo. That's the Powderpuff Girl. Yeah, that's Mojo Jojo.
But yeah, he just kept talking and he was just like, I mean, it was, I was like, oh, I think are you bipolar? I think you're having a manic episode. Like, this is crazy.
Well, luckily you're on the upswing for me.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. But yeah, and like the whole interview, I think it ended up being like 20 or 25 minutes, and it was crazy. I think my friend posted it online somewhere. I think if you Google Tom O'Keefe, David Lee Roth, it might pop up for you. And it's like me and a guy named Jason Mack, and it just goes on and on.
So who got to ask the one question? Was he?
Well, we were going back. I mean, we asked a couple more, but like he just wouldn't.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
stop.
It was. And then when we got done, they were mad at us, and we're like, "Well, you shut your guy up."
Yeah,
like,
we asked one question.
Yeah, I mean, we did ask a couple. End up asking a couple more, but yeah, it was crazy. So anyway,
that's funny.
Another walk down memory lane. So yeah. Let's
save it for the last thing. Yeah,
someday I'll put a collection of like your T-ball stories, yeah, and your radio stories.
Play them at my funeral. So anyway, that's it for this. Coming up on the next episode, we will do Krampus. Thanks for checking us out. And until next time, you've been warned.
I'm Krampus, bitch. I'll do whatever I please. This is my expertise.
Round the world, it's all the same. Children freeze when they hear my name. Krampus, please don't beat me so. But do I listen? Sadly, no. 80% of kids end up turning into dirtbags. I just laugh. But Steve, oh Steve, you are the worst. Slap that butt with a branch of birch. Shake them chains till your ears go numb. See, now just what you become. Show you that life is pain. Not some silly, stupid game. We do it my way. And because you haven't learned your lesson, you get to run. You get to run.
Swear to God, do not touch me.
You see, Steve, you don't know anything about pain.
Yes, I do.
Pain is having a girl named Sheila walk out on you in the middle of downtown Baltimore for some guy named Dennis who worked as a mechanic and made twice as much money as you.
What?
These are things you know nothing about, boy, but I'm here to show you.
I'm gonna punish you. You ain't experienced all that I've been through. Sheila said the kid was mine, but it looked just
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.